Well, you guys, I'm so excited to continue our series, The Seventh Hand, and we have been looking at some of the ways in which God interacts with humanity, and specifically in the Bible, the number six represents our ability and our effort as human beings, but the number seven in the Bible represents God's divine hand over our lives. And we've talked about how our lives really are, we're never built to be lived out of our own effort, but we're to be lived in partnership with God himself. And so we've been talking about that. Last week, we talked about the Holy Spirit. This week, what I want to talk about is how we hear God's voice. Now, this is a huge expansive conversation. We're obviously not going to be able to hit everything this week, but this week I want to specifically lean into some ways in which we can understand God speaking and specifically look at something that the Bible calls prophecy. I'll define that in just a minute, but it's really all of this is around the idea of hearing God's voice. And I know that's a common question and a common conversation that so many people have. How do I know if it's God's voice or my conscience? How do I know if I have a dream? Is that God or is that pizza that I ate? And again, I'm not going to claim to answer every single one of those questions today. I don't think that would even be possible. But I believe today that we can lean into God's word and we can learn some of the ways in which God speaks to us. And we can learn some of the, what I might call safeties or bumper lanes. You know, when you go bowling, there's like the gutters on the sides of the lane that you can get those bumpers that come up that keep you out of the ditch. We're going to look at some of those things today. And we're going to go on a little moment here, the next bit of time that we have of processing how to walk a process of hearing God's voice out. So I'm really excited about that. I want to pray over us, and then we're going to jump right into scripture this morning. So let me pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you, God, for speaking. God, thank you that your voice still speaks. You're a speaking God. You still speak. And I know there may even be people listening to the sound of my voice right now that don't believe that. Holy Spirit, I pray today that you would speak. And that you would speak through me and you would speak to your people. And so, God, I just pray for a supernatural divine flow today. God, that it wouldn't be my words and my voice. It would be your words and your voice. And God, that you would speak to your people what you desire to say. And I pray for everybody within the sound of my voice that they would be open to listening and open to hearing and that their ears would be open, their hearts would be open, that they would be sensitive and soft. God, their hearts would be soft to you, Holy Spirit. So I pray that over us as we lean into the scripture today. And God, we thank you that you're a living God. And we thank you that you will come and you will change our lives today. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Awesome, you guys. So if you have your Bibles, open them up to 1 Corinthians. And we're actually going to start in chapter 14. As you're turning there, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I'll skip right back before in 1 Corinthians 13. And the Apostle Paul's writing the church in Corinth, and he's actually talking about spiritual gifts. But he actually says, hey, I want you to understand that as I'm talking about all these spiritual gifts and the way the Spirit moves and interacts with humanity, I want you to remember that all of this must be done in the context of love, or it's just a waste of your time. You can read about that in 1 Corinthians 13. It's really fascinating. But as you skip ahead to chapter 14, Paul starts talking about this. And this is what he says. We're going to read a couple verses here. 1 Corinthians 14, 1 says this, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit. Now, we're going to talk a little bit more about gifts next week, but eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit. And then check this out, especially prophecy. Especially prophecy. Verse 2, for anybody who speaks in a tongue, that's one of the other spiritual gifts, does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. Verse 3, but the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church or others. Verse 5, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. Now, when I say the word prophecy or prophesy, a lot of people maybe start to get a little bit uncomfortable. They're like, isn't that where you like predict the future? Do you have like a crystal ball and you're like doing some weird mumbo jumbo stuff? Nah, not really. Prophecy can mean that. There is a definition of that. And God can speak to us about the future. And yes, in the Old Testament, there were prophets that God's Spirit specifically spoke to in visions and oftentimes about the future. But prophecy is really more expansive than just a declaration of what might come in the future. Prophecy, really, when you look into it, is to literally to speak the words of God. Now, we believe that all through the Old Testament, human beings were under the inspiration of God's Spirit for a moment or a time that Spirit would visit them. They would speak on behalf of God's Spirit. They were prophetic. They were prophesying, and then the Spirit would leave. You can go back and actually learn more about this in the teaching last week. We believe now in the New Testament that the Holy Spirit comes and stays and dwells in us because of the person of Jesus, what He did for us, and so that the Holy Spirit's actually in us. And so prophecy now is actually me living and speaking and thinking and being directed by God's Spirit in me instead of my own thinking or ability or my own voice. And so prophecy takes on this entirely different context and texture. It's not like a crystal ball speaking about the future. Prophecy is actually God's Spirit living and dwelling in me and through me. And prophecy becomes speaking on and living on behalf of God's Spirit, which is living in me. And that's why Paul says, look, I love if you could speak in tongues because you're speaking a spiritual language, but what I'd really like is if you could allow God to speak through you, because that would actually benefit you and it would benefit everybody around you. And Paul actually says, I pray that you would understand that the way of love, following the way of love, means loving people, means that you are actually earnestly desiring to prophesy. So it's this idea of if you're going to really love people well and serve people well around you, and you're going to walk, follow the way of love, then you should earnestly desire to let God's Spirit speak through you, prophesy, prophecy. Now, this is really interesting, right? Because for some of us, maybe for many of us, we're like, well, I don't know if God even speaks. I'm not even sure how I think about that. And then maybe for some of us, we're like, well, I believe God speaks to some people, maybe like you, Pastor Scott, but I don't think God speaks to me. We're going to look at some of that today. I've got a couple major ideas for you here, and then we're going to break down some stuff in between. Are you guys ready? Let's rock and roll. I know we're already in the water here. We're in the pool already, so let me just get going, okay? If you've got your notes or your note taker, get ready. Number one, point number one, here's the first idea. Is that all of our living problems are listening problems. All of our living problems are listening problems. So all of the problems we have in life are actually can be tied back to problems in listening for God. Now, we talked last week about how we were never designed as human beings to operate in our own strength. We're designed to operate in partnership with God's Spirit. We're power-assisted living. Human beings were created to be power-assisted beings. So then, in that context, all of our living issues are actually listening issues, right? So there's something called the Tomatis effect, and it has to do with professional opera singers. So here was the idea. There was a guy who was studying that over a period of time, there were certain opera singers who would all of a sudden, they wouldn't be able to hit certain notes anymore. So you have these world-class, world-famous opera singers, they would be singing, and then at a certain point in their career, they just couldn't hit a note anymore, and they didn't know why. So they were doing all sorts of things, trying to help them learn to sing differently or regain something that they had lost in their singing. And what they ended up finding as they researched this is that opera singers over time would actually damage their hearing. And so they would be around loud singing, they damaged their hearing, and then they couldn't hit notes anymore, not because they could no longer sing them, but because they could no longer hear them. And when they lost the ability to hear certain notes, they could no longer replicate that note through their vocals, and they could no longer sing them. And in a similar way, our living, we might say, well, I want to live for God. I want to be like Jesus. I want to love people better around me. The problem often is not that we're not living. It's like, well, I can't sing the note. It's like, no, well, you have to be able to hear the note. And our living problems are listening problems. And if we can solve the listening problem, then the living problem, the singing problem, to stay with the analogy, actually heals itself. Dr. Tomatis had three laws. He said this: the voice can only reproduce the frequencies, the sounds that the ear can hear. So your voice can only reproduce what your ear hears. Number two, by restoring the ear's ability to hear, the voice immediately and unconsciously reintroduces the missing frequencies. And then number three, if the change in hearing is maintained long enough, even by means of electric ear or hearing aid, it is possible to change audition and phonation voice permanently. So if you can't hear it, you can't sing it. If you can't hear it, you can't live it. And so this is really, really cool. It was funny. I don't know if you guys have seen this on the Disney Channel. There's something called Olaf Presents where he actually goes through and he does overviews. Olaf from Frozen goes through and does overviews of some of the famous Disney movies. And I love it. It's hilarious because throughout there's like five or six videos, I think, he's actually singing and he's always off key. It's always terrible singing. And I was kind of laughing to myself because I was thinking about it. They're really funny videos. I was thinking about it and I was like, you know, Olaf's problem is he has no ears. He can't hear. He can't sing. So that's not actually, somehow he can hear people talk. So he must be able to hear, but I kind of thought it was funny. Olaf has no ears. It's obviously a joke, but the principle is the same. Is when we restore our hearing or our listening, we can restore our singing or our living. So, a few things on that before I move to point two is, we need to believe that God is still speaking, and that's actually going to be point two here in just a minute. But I wanted to just tell you guys, learning to hear is a journey. Okay. So we're reintroducing that listening ability. That's a process. It's not like you just restore overnight. And so again, I want to talk more about the principles of that. And so the second point kind of starts to lean us into that. So number two, so if you're taking notes, number one is all of our living problems are listening problems. Number two is we have to believe that God is still speaking, that God's a speaking God. Now, this is a hurdle for so many people, okay? But here's what's interesting. The Bible starts with God speaking. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the Spirit was hovering over the deep. We actually read that last week. And then God said, or God spoke, let there be light. So the Bible starts in the first couple of verses with God speaking. In the book of Revelation at the end of the Bible, it ends with the Spirit of God speaking to the churches. So the Bible starts and ends with God speaking. Right in the middle of the Bible, the book of John talks about the Logos or the Logos, which is the Word of God, that Jesus was the manifest Word of God. God wrote a 1,000-page plus bestseller. He likes to communicate. And so there's this presupposition, I believe, laced all throughout the Bible that God loves to speak, that he's a speaking God, and that he's still speaking. And here's the thing, that we have to believe that. Why do you have to believe that? Because if you don't believe God can speak, then you're never going to learn to hear his voice. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So he's speaking. The sheep know the voice. It's like a shepherd that gives out a call, a personal call, and those sheep, his sheep, know his voice. If you don't understand that analogy, you can go Google that. It's actually fascinating to go research that. Dallas Willard said this. He said, the fact that we do not hear does not mean that God is not speaking to us. So a lot of people say, well, I don't think God speaks anymore. I don't hear God's voice. I don't really sense that. I don't think that's really a thing anymore. Dallas Willard says, the fact that we don't hear it doesn't mean that God's not speaking to us. We know that messages from radio and television, and I would add the internet, are passing through our bodies and our brains at all hours of the day, messages that inappropriately, this is the huge part, messages or frequencies that an appropriately tuned receiver could pluck from the very air that we're breathing. We are not attuned to God's voice. We have not been taught how to hear it sounding out in nature. For as we read in Psalm 19, the heavens announce the glory of God. So here's his point. He's saying, look, just because you don't hear a radio wave or radio frequency does not mean it's not there. It means that you need a radio that's actually a device that's actually attuned to picking up that frequency. And in a very similar way, right, just because we don't understand how to hear God's voice doesn't mean that God's not speaking. I actually heard this as I was preparing for this this week, and I was fascinated by it. I had never put this together before, but it was so cool. If you go back to the book of Genesis, okay, in Genesis 2, God creates humanity, and God speaks actually in Genesis 2 to Adam. He says, don't eat of the fruit of this one tree, good and evil. Again, I don't have time to teach all this. I've taught it in a lot of other applications, but he says, don't eat of this tree, for when you eat of this tree, you will surely die. In Genesis 3, Adam and Eve, they eat of the tree, but they don't die physically. Biblical scholars, you know, have a lot of different ways of kind of interpreting what God meant by that. But what we know is that in a certain sense, they died spiritually. There was a severing of relationship with God. And what's interesting is that in Genesis 2 and 3, it says that humanity walked and talked with God. Okay, this is what you need to hear. Humanity walked and talked with God in the cool of the day, in the garden. So in the garden, we're with God hearing his voice. And in Genesis 3, we as humanity, we eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and we're severed, right, spiritually in a certain capacity, and we lose the ability to hear the voice. We lose the ability to walk in the garden and communicate with God. Okay, if you skip ahead now, actually, I'll read that to you. Genesis 3, 8 through 10, it says this. It says, then the man and his wife, this is after they've eaten the fruit, okay? They eat the fruit, and then their eyes are opened. There's a severing from God, and then check this out. Genesis 3, 8 through 10. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden. Hang on, put a feather in that. Hang on to that. Put a pin in that. God was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you, God, in the garden, and I was afraid, so I hid." It's really interesting that the Bible starts with humanity hanging out with God, hearing his voice in a garden, and then we eat of the tree, and then we're afraid of God's voice, and we hide from it. And then what's really, really interesting is that as you fast forward through the scripture and you have the life of Jesus, and Jesus lives a sinless life, he's God in the flesh, he dies on the cross for my sin and your sin, he goes into the ground, 3 days he's in a tomb, he resurrects, okay? And do you know what the very first thing that God, when he's restoring the relationship between humanity and God, Jesus is restoring the relationship, look at the very first thing that Jesus does. He's in a garden in John 20, and he's talking to somebody personally and calls their name. I love this. John 20, 15 through 18. Jesus asks, this is Mary's gone to the tomb. Jesus isn't there anymore. The stone's rolled away. He's not there. And she's crying. Jesus shows up in verse 15, and he says to her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him and I will get him." Verse 16, Jesus said to her, "Mary," calls her name. Isn't that crazy? Like in Genesis, we lose walking through the garden with God, hearing his voice. And as soon as Jesus resurrects from the grave, the very first thing he does is in a garden, he begins talking with humanity again. And he says, "Mary," and she turns to him and cries out, "Teacher," Jesus says to her, "Don't hold on to me yet, for I've not ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I'm ascending to the Father and," watch this, "and to your Father, to my God and to your God." Jesus says, look, here's my very first act as a resurrected savior of humanity is to restore the ability to hear, to walk and talk with God in the garden. I will personally speak your name. And then Jesus says, "Hey, I haven't totally fixed everything yet. I'm going to send the Holy," this is an allusion to the Holy Spirit coming. He's saying, "I'm going to go to the Father. He's going to send the Holy Spirit back. But watch this. He's my Father," Jesus says, "but he's also your Father, and he's my God, but he's also your God. And I'm restoring the ability for you to hear his voice." And he says all of this while talking to her in a garden and while calling her by a personal name. Hearing and relationship is restored. And this is so fascinating. Then I said it points to the Holy Spirit. In John 16, 13, check this out. Jesus says, "But when he," the Spirit of truth, that's the Holy Spirit. Jesus is talking about sending the Holy Spirit later. This is when Jesus is still on the earth. "But when he," the Holy Spirit, "the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into the truth." And then watch this. "He will not speak on his own." Okay, so if the Holy Spirit's not speaking on his own, what does that mean? Well, it means he's speaking. He's not speaking on his own authority, but he's speaking. "He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come." God is a speaking God. God spoke in Genesis. Jesus, we lost the ability to hear in the garden, but Jesus restored the ability to hear in a garden and then sent the Holy Spirit back, who is speaking and leading and directing and guiding. Romans 8:14 says, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God," these are the sons and daughters of God. 1 Peter 4:11 says, "If anyone speaks, let him speak the very words of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, and in all things that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ." Look, if you're going to, he says, look, if you're going to speak, Go ahead and speak God's words, prompted and led by God. Listen, God's a speaking God. He's still speaking. And this goes back to where we started today, where the Apostle Paul says, look, the way of love, if you're really going to live out the way of love, you've got to earnestly desire to prophesy. You've got to earnestly desire to hear God's voice and then be able to speak it. You've got to get back to the tinnitus effect. If you can't hear the frequencies and you're not attuned to it, you can't live it or sing it out. You're going to have to fix your hearing to fix your living. You're going to have to fix your hearing to fix your singing. And the first step of that is we got to believe that God is still speaking, because we can't attune a radio to a radio frequency that we don't believe exists. And so I have a question for you. And here's the question. It's a very simple one, and probably the one you're expecting is, do you believe that God is still speaking? I want you to just take a moment and actually honestly and soberly ask yourself that question, because the way you answer that question changes absolutely everything about how you live your life. So, Selah, I'm going to take a drink of water and we're going to ponder that question for a second. Do you honestly believe that God still speaks today? Now, that's a great question, and that's a question you should wrestle with, and I should wrestle with. And here's what's interesting. I'm not even just talking about hearing an audible voice from God. Now, I know people that say they've heard God's audible voice. I've actually never heard God's audible voice, but I have heard so many times in my life the prompting of God that is just as clear as an audible message that I would have picked up in my ears. We're going to talk about a little bit of that in just a minute. But number two, you need to believe that God is still speaking. So number one, all of our living problems are actually listening problems. And then if we're going to actually be able to listen and tinnitus effect, restore the ability to sing and to live, we're going to actually have to first believe that God is a speaking God and that he is still speaking. And then number three, the third idea for today is that we need to embrace the journey of learning to listen. Now, a lot of people think, well, if I want to hear God's voice, it's like a switch. You just like switch it on and now he's on and you switch it off, like a radio. That's where the radio example probably breaks down, because learning to hear God's voice isn't like that. Learning to hear God's voice is personal. It's less like flipping a radio on, and it's more, the radio is a good analogy for attuning to a frequency that's in the air that we're not always aware of in order to hear something. That's a good analogy for that. But in this way of embracing the journey of learning to listen, it's more like learning someone's voice. It's a personal relationship. So let me give you an example. Sometimes our old phones, I know many of you were not alive during this, but before we had cell phones, we actually had phones in our homes. Yeah, I know, it's weird. And we actually plugged them into the wall. And when the phone rang, you didn't know who it was. You'd pick it up and you'd say, hello. And then it's really interesting. Why do we say, hello? Why do we have kind of some of the exchanges we have? Because you didn't know who was calling. We had to do those exchanges. We had to give each other the names, tell people who we were. Now, that we can get the same idea, because sometimes in our cell phones, it will say unknown number. And then you don't know who it is. Now, of course, most of the time now it shows up on your phone. But what's interesting is, if my wife calls me and it shows up as Erica Hayes on my phone, I know it's her before I hit the little button. But if it said unknown number, and my wife has called me before, her cell phone dies, she calls me from somewhere, it's an unknown number, and I pick it up. Do you know that even though it says unknown number, when I pick it up and I say hello, and she says, hey, babe, or whatever she might say, do you know immediately, I know it's her. And you go, well, how do you know it's her? Well, because I've learned it. I've learned her voice. Over time, we've been married for 21 years. I know her voice. I know her tone. I know her temperaments. I know how she thinks and how she verbalizes a lot of the things that she thinks. We've got inside jokes together. I know her voice because I've learned it over time. And in a similar way, just like that's not something you flip on, you learn it over time. We have, after 21 years, we have inside jokes and a knowledge of each other through each other's voices. I can hear my wife's voice and I can pick up her emotion in a way that's very, I have a deep knowledge of her tone and inflection, if you want to say that, because I know her voice. Okay, because I've learned it over time. It's personal. And in a similar way, we learn God's voice like that. It's a journey. It's a process. It's a relational journey. In 1 Samuel 3, we actually have a really interesting example of this. There's actually, there's a couple prophets that are the priests that are actually in the temple. One of them is named Eli, and one of them is a young priest named Samuel. And so the Lord is speaking to Samuel as a boy, okay? And Eli is kind of the seasoned veteran of like hearing God's voice and being in the temple. And so Samuel, as the young boy, had not yet learned to discern God's voice. And so one night they're sleeping in, you know, different rooms, presumably from the scripture. And Samuel, the boy, keeps hearing a voice and he keeps getting up and he goes over to the other room and he's like, "Hey, Eli, did you call for me?" And he does this multiple times. The third time that Samuel hears a voice and gets up and goes over to Eli, Eli kind of becomes aware of what's happening. And he says, "Oh, it's not my voice you're hearing. It's God's voice that you're hearing." And then I'll kind of put the implication into this. It doesn't explicitly say this in the scripture, but Eli's like, "Oh, you don't understand God's voice yet. You need to learn it. Because even though you're actually hearing God's voice, you don't know how to discern it yet. You've not gone on the journey to actually learn the tone and the texture and the temperament and to have the inside jokes with God. You don't know it's him. He's calling you, but you don't know who it is yet." And so I love it. You can read all about that in 1 Samuel 3. But Samuel, as the boy, had not learned to discern the voice of God, even though he could hear it. And I think that a lot of us probably find ourselves in that position today. And, you know, Eli gives him a little piece of advice and he says to Samuel, "Go back, lie down. And if you hear the voice again, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" And there's a posture of the heart there. It's like, I want to learn. I want to hear. God, I want you to speak to me. So again, remember this, right? We first need to understand all of our living problems are listening problems. Second, we need to believe that God still speaks, because if we don't believe that, then there's no use in moving forward. And then number three, we actually have to position ourselves into the journey of learning to hear his voice. And just like Samuel's like, he doesn't understand what's happening, but Eli says to him, "Go back, lie down," if that makes sense to you, "go create a quiet place," right? "And when you hear his voice, tell him, 'Speak, Lord, your servant's listening. I'm here. My heart's open. My ears are open. God, I want to hear your voice. God, I want to learn what you're trying to say to me.'" Now, that's a posture thing. That's a humility thing. That's a time thing. I wrote down a couple quick things here. Learning to listen requires a repetitive experience with God. Three times it happened, and then Eli said to Samuel, "Hey, go back and lay down." And then when you're sensing God speaking, tell him, "Hey, I'm listening." Go ahead and get after the process. It's a repetitive process. Learning to listen requires help from others. This was really interesting because Samuel could hear God's voice but didn't know how to discern it. Eli knew how to discern it, was able to help Samuel. Sometimes we can learn God's voice from having those around us who are maybe a little more seasoned in that help us understand when God is speaking. Learning to listen, I wrote this one down. Learning to listen requires a surrendered and expectant posture. A surrendered and expectant posture. It's, "Hey, speak, God, I'm listening." It's going into our prayer time, our Bible reading time, our quiet time with a different posture. It's not like, "Well, I'm going to go pray and read my Bible today because what I'm supposed to do." I'm going to go pray and read my Bible today, and I'm expecting God for you to speak to me. And God, I just want you to know, God, that I'm open and that I'm surrendered and that I'm expectant. And, you know, and let me tell you this, even if it's not like, you know, it's not for me, every time I read the Bible and pray, it's not this like explosive experience. I've used this analogy before, but it's like eating a meal. You know, you may not remember what you ate for dinner three Tuesdays ago, but it was still nourishing to you. And the times that we spend reading the Bible and praying are nourishing to our spirit and to our soul, even if all of them aren't memorable. But I will tell you this, we approach those spaces with expectancy, and we approach those spaces with a surrendered heart. To say, "God, speak." And I will tell you that I may not remember what I had for dinner three Tuesday nights ago, and I may not remember the quiet time I had three Tuesdays ago, but there are quiet times that I can tell you exactly where I was and exactly what God spoke and exactly how it changed the trajectory of my life. And so we go, and this is a process of learning to hear God's voice, and we go to him with a surrendered and expectant posture. And then I already alluded to this, but learning to listen requires making space to listen. You know, Eli's like, "Hey, go and lay down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant's listening.'" Go lay down. Go create a quiet space. And, you know, there's so many ways that we can try to do that in our life, but there's silence and solitude, and there's Sabbath, and there's daily prayer and Bible reading, which I've already alluded to. And there's, as I said, there's being in community together, that we can hear God's voice together in community. Sometimes I learn from other people around me and how they hear God's voice, and I learn to hear God's voice in fresh ways because of how they hear God's voice. And Sometimes we hear God's voice in stewardship or obedience. Sometimes we actually learn to hear God's voice and trust Him by stepping out in faith and doing something He's asked us to do, by giving, by tithing, by serving maybe, by forgiving someone when we don't want to forgive them, but God says that we should forgive them. And so we release that person out of the prison of unforgiveness, and we find the whole time that we were actually the ones in the prison. All of those things God's voice can speak. So as we are moving toward close this morning, I've got a couple other things that I want to give you as we move to close. These are really kind of practical thoughts, but there's a book called Whisper, written by a guy named Mark Batterson, and he lists seven languages of hearing God's voice. And remember earlier I said it's not just an audible voice. There's a lot of ways God can speak to us. He can speak audibly to us, but He can also bypass the facilities of our ears and actually go right to our heart, right to our minds. It's fascinating because God made our ears. He can skip them if He wants to. He can use them if He wants to. But Mark Batterson lists seven specific languages, and he makes a point to say this is not an exhaustive list. God can speak through so many other ways, but I think it's a really good list of ways that God can speak to us, and I want to give them to you. Seven languages about God whispering to us, us hearing God's voice. Number one, or A, if you will, is actually Scripture. And a saying that I heard years ago that I love is that the river of God's Spirit flows through the banks of God's Scripture, or the river of the Spirit flows through the banks of Scripture. The Bible says, and we read it earlier, that the Holy Spirit will never speak anything that the Father didn't say to Jesus, right? That He doesn't, that there's this like, God speaks, Jesus hears it, passes on to the Holy Spirit. So there's this in the Trinity, and we talked about that last week as well, there's this triune thing happening where God's Spirit is always moving in line with God's Scripture. And so I love that because it gives us those bumper rails or those safety lanes, like when you're bowling and the bumper lanes come up. Scripture is the banks of the river of God's Spirit. One of the languages that God speaks to us through is Scripture. And the more you know Scripture, the more you know how to interpret and understand God's voice. I'll show you more of that in just a second in the last kind of little like practical activity thing we're going to do here. But seven languages for hearing His voice. One is Scripture. Two is desires. God speaks through our desires. Now, surely we have desires that aren't from God. So learning to discern the difference between our desire and God's desire, or even our desire in God's will versus our desire out of God's will, those are all things that are journeys and processes that we need to work through. But God can absolutely speak to us through desire. I was listening to a podcast earlier today, and an international ministry leader said they launch an initiative when they just couldn't get away from it. It would keep them up at night and they would just see it everywhere. And it was just burning a desire within them. God can speak to us through our desires. God, number three, seven languages, God can speak to us through dreams. And sometimes dreams are just pizza that we ate the night before. Sometimes I believe dreams don't necessarily have a huge impactful spiritual meaning. However, there are dreams that I believe do. And I'll speak about this in the same activity that we're going to do to close, that God can show us the difference. God can speak to us about the difference, and we can learn the process of discerning that. But God absolutely can speak to us through, number three, dreams. Number four, doors. God can open doors and speak to us about doors that are opening in our lives. One of the things I love is to put your hand, it's an analogy, but to do the work, to put your hand to the thing that's already in it. So when God opens a door, God gives you an opportunity. A lot of times we're praying and asking for God to show us what we're supposed to do. And many times we've got something in our hand that He's already given us. God can speak to us through doors. So Scripture, desires, dreams, doors. Number five, people. God can speak to us through other people. And of course, I've had people prophesy things over my life. Hey, I believe God's saying this to you. And I knew when they said, I knew it wasn't God. And I said politely, thank you. I don't think I've ever like rebuked someone. I just, hey, thank you. Because, you know, I guess I don't always know 100%. So maybe I'll take that, put it on the shelf, put it on the back burner. And if God ever brings that back up, but I know there's times when people have said, thus saith the Lord, and I don't believe it's actually God. And the Bible actually tells us not to despise prophecy, but to test everything. Keep what's good. You can go look that up. I don't know. I should probably have that passage, but you can Google that. It's in the Scripture. And so people can speak. We can hear God's voice through other people. So that's one, two, three, four, five, six. I guess I've got, do I have eight here? One, two, three, four, five, six. No, I don't. Scripture, desires, dreams, doors, people, That's five. Promptings, number six. God can prompt us in our spirit. And this is one of the ways that I believe God speaks through scripture, yes, through all of these other ways, yes. Promptings is one of the ways when I don't hear his audible voice, but I feel the prompting of God's spirit. And it's as if God were speaking to me. It's like, I know what to do, or I know where to go, or I know the decision that needs to be made. I have a conviction that happens down on the inside of me. And there's a lot of ways in which God can do that, but there's a prompting. That's number six. And then number seven is pain. God can speak to us through our pain. C.S. Lewis says that God whispers to us in our pleasure, but shouts or yells to us in our pain. And God can speak through our pain. God doesn't always create the pain, but he can speak through it. So those seven ways: scripture, desires, dreams, doors, people, promptings, and pain. And again, that's all out of a book called Whisper by Mark Batterson. You can go read that. One more learning tool before I pray us out and we move into a time of worship together, and we listen today for God's voice, because we've been talking about hearing God's voice in prophecy all morning. Is I want to give you just a little quick thing that I learned years ago, was so helpful for me, about what to do when I'm sensing one of those promptings, or what to do when I'm reading something in scripture and I believe God's speaking to me, or what to do when someone gives me a word from God, or what to do when I have a dream, or what to do when a door opens, or I have a desire, or there's pain in my life that I'm wondering if God's speaking to me through. What do I do? How do I process that? And again, the quick answer is that I actually lean into God's spirit to help me process that. I lean into God's word to help me process that. I lean into relationships to help me process that. But there's a little tool here that I want to pass on to you and share with you, because it's been so helpful for me. It's three steps. And the three steps, I'll just give them to you and then I'll explain them, is revelation, interpretation, and application. Revelation, interpretation, and application. Now, let me build this out, and then we're going to go into a time of worship. This is what I'll call the process of prophecy, the process of discerning God's voice. Number one is revelation. What was God saying, or what did God reveal to me? Now, if this is a dream, it's the dream you had. If it's through another person, it's the prophetic word that someone shared with you. It's the revelatory piece. It's the revelation. What was actually said, or what was actually revealed? It's the scripture that you read. It's the prompting that you sensed from God, right? So it's revelation. It's illumination. It's that moment where you go, is that God or is that me? It's the moment where you go, huh? It's the moment where the tears well up and you realize, man, something is happening on the inside of me that feels beyond what's just natural. It's revelation. And that's the first step of this, is that God reveals, he speaks, he shows himself. That's called revelation in the scripture. That's the first step of this. Now, that's a step we're probably most familiar with. And for many of us, this is where we get tripped up, because we're like, well, I'm not sure if it was revelation. I don't know if that was God. Was that me? Was that a dream from the Lord? Was that pizza? Like, what do I do? I don't know. And we kind of get stuck in that it's revelation. Here's the second step then. So once you have revelation and it's what was said or revealed, the second part is then interpretation. Now, we do this also with the Holy Spirit. We do this also with God. We do this also in relationships. It's not what was revealed, but it's what was meant by what was said or revealed. And this is so important, because I might have a dream and it's a revelation. I mean, it might not be a revelation from God. It's a new set of knowledge. It's a revelation. It's an illumination, right? It's new knowledge. But it might not be from God. It might not be a revelation from God. So I'm going to interpret the dream. And oftentimes I'll wake up from a dream, or I'll remember a dream I had, and I'll actually ask the Holy Spirit, hey, God, help me interpret that. Was that you? Were you trying to speak something to my heart? Was there something you want me to do? Or God, is that just something I should just let go of? And a lot of times the Lord will lead me in that. Sometimes I've talked with friends or mentors about that. Again, it works with dreams. It works with a lot of other things too, right? Promptings, all of those things that we talked about. But it's interpretation. It's not stopping at, oh, well, I think God might have said this to me. It's that something was revealed. Now, what do I do with what was revealed? What was meant by what was revealed? That's interpretation. And this is where godly wisdom and understanding of the scriptures helps so much, because the river of the Spirit flows to the banks of scripture. And human error can occur here in this process of interpretation, and it can be a misapplication of even a revelation that God gave. So we have revelation, but then we actually have to get good at interpretation. And again, the number one key to interpretation really is God's word and his scripture. And that's why, you know, even reading the Bible is so important. It's not just, well, I need to read my Bible today because what I'm supposed to do. It's like, no, we are actually building ourselves up with the ability to interpret what God is doing through the Spirit in our lives. This is so important. So revelation, interpretation, and then the last one is application. So the first one is what was said or revealed, what was revealed, revelation. Then what was meant by what was said or revealed, that's interpretation. And then the last one is application. What do I do with what I have received? What do I do with what I've received? So is there something I'm supposed to do? So I had a dream. It's a couple of months ago, and it was, I'll call it revelation, right? And then when I got done, I actually prayed about that that dream, and I prayed for interpretation. And I'll tell you, I didn't get full interpretation of the dream, but I do feel like God gave me some kind of threads that came out of the dream that were important. And then I asked God, God, is there something you want me to actually do with that dream? Now, this is what's interesting is a couple months ago, there was actually another person that was in the dream. That's a friend of mine. And I actually felt led, prompted. I felt the Holy Spirit was asking me to reach out to that friend and actually explain the dream and leave it open-ended with them and say, hey, I don't know fully how to interpret this, right? But I just wanted to let you know I had a dream. You were in it. This is what I felt like the Lord was speaking to me about. And I felt like I was supposed to share it with you. I submit it to you. Here it is. Please do whatever you want to do with it, right? I've had other dreams. Let's say there's a person in it by way of example and contrast to what I just shared, where I'll have a revelatory dream and then I'll ask God for interpretation. And I've even had times where I feel like I've had full interpretation of a dream with another person in it. And then I say, God, do you want me to do anything? Do you want me to apply this? And the application is pray for the person. I don't want you to talk to them at all. I want you to pray for them. Maybe God revealed something. He just wants me to pray. So again, you can see how this works. Revelation, interpretation, application. And this is really critical for us to learn the process of what we do with the promptings of God. What do we do with scripture and desires and dreams and doors and people and promptings and pain when we're sensing the Holy Spirit, when we're sensing that prophecy? So I'll close with this. I actually have the scripture in my notes that I referenced earlier and told you I didn't know where it was. Now I do. 1 Thessalonians 5:19-22. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecy with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what's good. Reject every kind of evil. So we need to be leaning into prophecy. And back to where we started in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says, look, if you're going to walk the way of love, if you're going to love people well, if you're going to do this love thing, here's what you're going to need to do. You're going to need to earnestly desire the ability to speak the words of God through your life. And in order to do that, guys, we're going to have to understand that all of our living problems are listening problems. We're going to have to believe that God still speaks, and then we're going to have to get comfortable with the process of learning to interpret what God is saying to us. So I want to pray as we close this 1 Corinthians 14:1, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. And I want to pray that earnest desire over us today. And I hope you'll join me in asking God for that gift in your life to be increased, that gift of hearing God's voice, that gift of prophecy. And then we're going to lean into a time of worship and we're just going to listen for God's voice today. And I pray that even in your life today during worship, that you would do this, what we talked about, revelation, interpretation, application about something that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you about in your life today. Let me pray over us. Father, thank you for this morning. God, I pray right now, God, that we want to follow the way of love. And God, we earnestly desire spiritual gifts. God, we earnestly desire specifically the gift of prophecy. Holy Spirit, would you move in our lives in a more powerful way? And would you bring illumination, God? Would you bring revelation? And then God, as you reveal and illuminate us, God, would you allow us to know how to interpret what you're saying, what you're speaking, what you're prompting? And then God, as we interpret that, would you give us the application of that? So I pray that, God, over every person within the sound of my voice, a fresh season, God, of prophecy, a fresh season of hearing your voice, a fresh season of learning to journey and walk with you in fresh ways. I pray for earnest desire to read the Bible. I pray for earnest desire, the spiritual gifts, God, that we would desire that you would speak to us. And God, we'd carve out the time, like Samuel, the repetitive process of carving out time to learn your voice and learn how to move with you and learn how to walk with you. So I pray that over us as a people. God, we earnestly desire to hear your voice and to prophesy. God, I also pray as we move into a time of worship today that you would be speaking to every single person that can hear my voice right now about something in their life that you want to put your finger on, something in their life that you want to highlight. And God, I pray that as you highlight it in a time of worship, that there would be a revelation and that you would speak about interpretation, and then you would speak about application, what they need to do with it. So God, I thank you for that today. Lastly, before we go into a time of worship, God, I pray right now for anybody who's never started a relationship with you. If that's you and you're here and you've been listening to this and you're like, wow, I've never started a relationship with Jesus before. Jesus is the pathway to actually have a relationship with God again. Just like we talked about, Jesus died on the cross for our sins, resurrected from the grave to prove that he had power over death and hell and the grave. And then he invited us back into relationship with God, back into a place where we can actually hear the voice of God. So if you've never done that before, or you did that at one time, but you want to recommit your life today, I want to pray over you and I want to pray with you. You can pray this with me. Say, God, thank you for your son, Jesus. I believe that he was your son. I believe he died on the cross for my sin. And right now I surrender my life. I surrender all of who I am. And I ask you, Jesus, to come into my life, to have control of my life. I surrender to you and I call you my Lord and Savior. Thank you for restoring my relationship with God, my Father. And thank you that I can hear your voice. Thank you that I can walk with you. Thank you that I can know you. And I pray for a season where, God, you will show me, you'll give me revelation, God, of what you want me to do and how you want me to live, of the person you want me to become. And God, I thank you for a relationship with you today, right now. The Bible says, there's something being born again on the inside of you. So if you prayed that prayer today, I just want to tell you, congratulations. It is the best decision you'll ever make in your whole life. If you would do something for us, I want to personally know if you prayed that prayer. If you would text the keyword element to 97,000, you're going to get a link. Click it. On that form, it actually says, I made a decision, a commitment for Jesus today, or recommitment for Jesus today. Would you click that box? Let us know. I will see it. I would love to see it, and I would love to celebrate with you. I would love to pray for you. And so please let us know if you prayed that prayer today. And then you guys, as I said, we're going to go into a time of worship, and I want to ask you to ask the Holy Spirit and move through this process of revelation. Say, Holy Spirit, would you reveal something to me today that you want to speak to about my life? And then God, would you give me the interpretation of that revelation? And then would you give me the application of what to do? Let's take some time and let's sit with the Holy Spirit today in this process of prophecy. And let's go into a time of worship.